Welcome to the audio podcast of North River Church. You can find out more about North River and ways you can be involved at our website, gonorthriver.org.
Thank you, Pastor Scott and worship team. And I want to invite you to grab your copy of God's Word this morning, whether that be a physical Bible in your hand or maybe an electronic copy. And if you don't have one, the text will be up on the screen for you as well. What we love to do here at North River Church is not only sing about who God is and what He's done in our lives, but also read His Word and, again, reinforce those truths as we walk through the Scriptures. And this morning, you have a unique privilege in the fact that we are kicking off a brand new sermon series through the book of 1 John. That's a letter that John, one of Jesus' disciples, had written to a group of believers, and we're going to, over the next number of weeks together, we're going to unpack that book and that letter as we walk through some of the truths that we see about what it means to live a godly life. So that's what we're going to talk about over the next number of weeks, and we're going to kick off this morning with the first 10 verses of 1 John chapter 1. You know, the truth for all of us is that there are questions all of us have to answer in life. There are questions that define our reality. There are questions that the answer to those questions changes everything about our lives. And this morning, we're going to look at three questions and their answers that John gives us here in this letter. And so I want to read for us verses 1 through 10 of 1 John, and then I want to walk back through that this morning. This is what John writes, beginning in verse 1 of 1 John chapter 1. He says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. And this is the message we have heard from Him, and we proclaim to you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And if we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us." Let's pray. Father, we ask that in these next moments we have together, as we unpack Your word and as we sit under it, Lord, would You open our ears to hear? Or would You open our eyes to see? Would You open our hearts to respond to Your truth that we find? We pray this in Christ's name, and everybody said, amen. This morning, as we look at this letter, I want to begin at the beginning. And if you notice, that's exactly what John does. He begins at the beginning because he says in verse 1, that which was from the... All right, it's going to be a long day if y'all can't talk, okay? All right? It's okay to talk back in church every once in a while, okay? Does that sound good? So John writes, that which was from the beginning. Now, when you look at what John's talking about here, what you're going to realize is that John, who wrote this letter and who wrote two that follow this one, also wrote the Gospel of John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He wrote that book as well. And in the Gospel of John, he wrote about all that Jesus did. so that people would be able to look and to see who Jesus was and respond to him by faith in what he accomplished on the cross and through his resurrection. And so if you're here this morning and maybe you're just trying to figure out what is this whole church thing about, who is Jesus and what is he about, I'd encourage you to begin in the Gospel of John. That's a great starting point for you to begin reading about who Jesus is and what he's done. But John here says that which was from the beginning. If you look back at John's Gospel in John 1:1, John says, in the beginning was the Word, capital W, talking about Jesus, that he was in the beginning with the Father. And if you fast forward to verse 14, it says, the Word, Jesus, became flesh. He took on flesh and he dwelt among us. And we've seen his glory. Glory is of the only begotten Son of God. And so John here in this letter is looking back on that, and he's saying about Jesus, Jesus is the Son of God who was there at the beginning. In fact, we find out in John that it's Jesus who is the one who is involved in creation. We realize that Jesus, this Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, was with the Father until he was sent to this earth. And he took on flesh and he dwelt and he lived a sinless life, and he took our sin to the cross, and he paid for our sin on the cross, and he was put in a tomb, but he didn't stay there. In fact, he rose from the dead. That is who John is talking about. But notice what he says, that which was from the beginning, and then he says, which we have heard. So Jesus was in the beginning, but John says, we've heard about him. In fact, if you begin in Genesis 3:15 and you walk your way through the Old Testament, you hear prophecies about this coming Messiah, this coming Savior who would save his people from their sins. You hear about that, and John here says, we've heard about him. Now, many of you know that I didn't grow up here. I know you couldn't tell that by my accent, right? We were in the Outlet Mall the other day looking for shoes, and the lady walked by. She said, can I help you? And I said, no, ma'am, we're fine. She said, you're not from here, are you? And I said, yes, I live in Parrish. What are you talking about? She said, you didn't grow up there. Now, here's the thing. When we left South Georgia, which is where I grew up, and we were moving to Florida, can I just tell you, we heard things about Florida. Particularly around Gator fans that wear cut-off jean shorts. But here's the thing. John says here about Jesus that we had heard about him. This one who was in the beginning with the Father, who was the Word made flesh, we'd heard about him. But not only that, notice what John says here. Which we have seen with our eyes. John talking about Jesus says, not only have we heard about him, but he says also, we have actually seen him. You got to remember that it was John who was one of Jesus' disciples. It was John who had seen the miracles that Jesus had performed. It was John who was there watching all of this take place, and he saw Jesus. You imagine that? You imagine seeing Jesus for 3 years worth of ministry time and watching all that transpired. He says he saw Jesus, but not only that. We've seen him with our eyes, but notice what he says here. Which we looked upon or gazed upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. Now what's John talking about there? John was one of Jesus' disciples. He had heard about him. He had heard the prophecies. And then he saw Jesus and he walked with Jesus. But what does it mean for him to say we gazed upon him? Well, if you look back at what transpires in the book of John and Jesus' ministry, after Jesus dies on the cross and is put in the grave and raises from the dead, what you have is a group of disciples who were absolutely terrified. And one in particular who said, unless I actually see Jesus' nail-scarred hands and his nail-scarred feet, and unless I actually put my finger in the nail scars, I'm not going to believe that he's risen from the dead. You notice what John says. He had walked with Jesus, and after Jesus' resurrection, John says, we looked on him, we gazed on him, and we touched him. You got to think about that for a minute. When's the last time you saw someone raised from the dead? It doesn't happen. Except for Jesus, right? You don't see that. You don't make that up. But John says, listen, we saw him and we walked with him and then we gazed on him after his resurrection and we put our fingers in his nail-scarred hands. That is what we have seen. See, one of the questions that we all have to ask and answer is very simple. Who is Jesus and what has he done? That's a question you have to answer for yourself this morning. And John gives us a beautiful unpacking of the answer to that question. Jesus is the very Son of God who stepped foot out of heaven and came to this earth and lived a sinless life and took our sins on the cross and he paid for them and he was buried in a tomb, but he didn't stay there. He rose from the dead. And John says, I've seen it. And I put my fingers in his nail-scarred hands. He says, that's who Jesus is. And that's what Jesus has done. He says in verse 2, the life was made manifest and we have seen it. And notice this, not only have they seen it, but they testify to it. No, it's one thing to say that you've seen something. It's another thing to stake your very life on the fact that you've seen it. And that's exactly what John does. That's exactly what the other disciples of Jesus did. In fact, all of them were killed in some way, some form, some fashion because they believed and they saw and they testified that Jesus was risen from the grave. He said, it's real. We stake our lives on that truth. And if we're going to stake our lives on the truth and we're going to testify to it, John says, we're also going to tell other people about it. You see, here's the thing that you find out. If Jesus is who he says he is, and if he did what the scriptures say that he did, it's hard not to say something to someone about that. It's hard not to testify to that. It's hard not to proclaim that. And John says, that's exactly what he's doing. This is who Jesus is. And this is what he's done, and he's proclaiming the eternal life that's found in Jesus to all who would listen. Have you answered that question, who is Jesus and what has he done? You see John's answer here. He's the very Son of God. And he died for your sins, and he died for my sins. And he was buried, but he didn't stay there. He rose from the grave. And John says, I have to proclaim that truth of who he is and what he's done. Notice he keeps going in verse 3. He says, that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you. Now, we know that John's already said that they've testified to this, what they've seen and they heard and they touched. And they proclaimed it, but here's the question. Why? Why would John give his very life? Why would the other disciples give their very lives to proclaim the truth of who Jesus is and what he's done? Why would many of them be tortured? Why would many of them give up their very lives? What would be the purpose? John tells us here, we proclaim also to you so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. See, if the first question this morning is, who is Jesus and what he's done, here's the second question that we have to answer. It's the second answer that John gives us here in verses 3 and 4. It's the answer to this question, how can Jesus transform your life? If we know who Jesus is and we know what he's done, what difference does that make for you and for me? And John gives us the answer here. The reason that he's proclaiming this truth of who Jesus is and what he's done is because he wants something for those who are reading this letter. He wants something for those who are hearing the truth of who Jesus is and what he's done. What does he want for them? He wants for them to have a relationship with their heavenly Father through Jesus Christ, his Son. See, that's the question this morning. How can Jesus transform your life? Many of you may have come in asking that question. In fact, this past week was rough for you. Maybe this past year, maybe this past decade. And you're just looking back going, I don't know what to do with this. I don't know what the pain, I don't know how to handle it. I don't know how to handle my job. I don't know how to handle my kids. I don't know any of this thing. Can Jesus change my life? Can something be different? And John here gives us the answer to that. Because of what Jesus has done on the cross, because of his resurrection, we have the ability, all of us, if we'll respond by faith to what Jesus did, to have a relationship with our Heavenly Father through him. That's what we have the privilege of having. And John says for his readers, he wants them to have that. So it's not just enough to believe these nice things about Jesus. It's not just enough to say, yeah, I believe that he died on the cross, or I believe that he rose again. What John says here is taking that truth and applying it in our lives and receiving that truth by faith and placing all of our faith on what Jesus did on the cross and what he did through his resurrection. It's us saying we can't handle this on our own. It's us recognizing that there's something that separates us from our Heavenly Father, and the Bible calls that sin. And it's only through Jesus' death on the cross, it's only through his resurrection that we have the ability to be reunited in fellowship with our Heavenly Father and live the life that we were intended to live. And John proclaims that truth so that all who hear it would have fellowship with them, other believers, fellowship with the Father through Jesus the Son. Now here's the truth. You may be here this morning and that's the step that you need to take. Maybe for the first time you've realized that I need this morning to believe the truth of who Jesus is and what he's done, and I need to apply that to my life by faith, trusting in what Jesus has done. And here's the cool thing. The Bible says when you do that, that Jesus' blood that was shed on the cross covers your sin. That you who are an enemy of God have been brought in right relationship with your Heavenly Father the way that you were intended to experience life. Have you done that? Is Jesus Christ your Savior? Is what we sang about this morning true in your life? My greatest prayer going into this weekend is that if there were those who came this morning, and I believe that there are, who don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, who may have just been kind of testing this thing out. Maybe you got drug here this morning and you really didn't want to come, but you heard there were donuts. You thought, I'm going to show up for the donuts, right? It's just a small taste of heaven right there, Dunkin' Donuts. But for you this morning, that is the step that you need to take. You need to place your faith and trust in Jesus for your salvation, what he's done on the cross for you, what his resurrection secures for you, an eternal life. John says he wants all that he proclaims that truth to have fellowship through Jesus with the Father. He says in verse 4, we are writing these things, listen to this, so that our joy may be complete. If you're a follower of Jesus, you know this morning there's no greater joy than you can experience than sharing the truth of who Jesus is and what he's done with someone and them respond to that in faith. That's what John says here, that our joy may be complete. So if verses 1 through 4 answer those two questions, who is Jesus, what has he done, and the second question, how can Jesus change my life? Here's the question for us now. What does it look like if we believe who Jesus is and what he's done, and we have responded by faith and received the salvation that his death and his resurrection provides for us? If we're followers of Jesus this morning, if we're believers, where the rubber meets the road is, how do we live that out in our lives? One of the things that we're going to see in the next number of weeks together is John talking about us living in the light, but our lives looking different because of what Jesus has done for us and in us. We're going to see just the first glimpse, beginning in verse 5, going through verse 10, of what it means for us to walk in relationship with our Heavenly Father. This is what John writes. This is the message which we have heard from him, and we proclaim to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Now, the idea that God is light, and in him is no darkness, what does that actually mean? What's John trying to communicate as he is sharing the truth that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all? It means that God is perfectly holy and perfectly righteous. God is other than us. He's separated from us. And in him, there's absolutely no darkness, no sin, no issues, no problems. God is perfectly holy and righteous. And he says here, if that is the way that God is, verse 6, if we say we have fellowship with him, remember back up previously, fellowship with him means that we've responded by faith in what Jesus has done. We've appropriated that to our lives. We've trusted in him for our salvation. We've had fellowship with the Father. He says, if we have fellowship with him, it means that we're believers, we're followers of Jesus. Listen to this. While we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. Now, there's a buzzword around Christians, and I don't know if you know this buzzword or not. It's a buzzword that maybe you've even used once or twice. You know those church people, they're just a bunch of hypocrites. You ever heard that? Well, what's a hypocrite? It's what John just detailed out right here. Someone who claims to follow Jesus, and yet their life doesn't match it. They claim that Jesus lives within them, but their lives don't look any different. And John says here, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in the darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. Now let's just be honest for all of us who are believers, and remember this section, verses 5 through 10, are talking specifically to those who were followers of Jesus. You ever notice in your Christian life, if you're a follower of Jesus this morning, that there are days when things are going incredibly well in your relationship with the Lord? And if we're honest, those are the times we post on Facebook, right? Got my quiet time in today, Jesus, right? When we're in the gutter and life's not going the way we intended and we don't feel like Jesus is maybe even there at all, we're questioning that. We don't post that. What John says here is that we will experience those moments in the Christian life. It says in verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin. Now here's the thing that we've got to understand about verse 7. Jesus' blood cleanses all of us who have placed our faith and trust in him for salvation. At the moment of salvation, that's the promise that God gives to us, that if we believe, if we place our faith and trust in him for salvation, that Jesus' blood covers our sin. But here's the thing that you know and that I know. Even as Christians, we still sin. or maybe you don't. Right? In fact, there's moments in our lives when we do sin. And he says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. The blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, just in case you thought you were super spiritual, verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Listen to verse 9, but if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, here in verses 5 through 10, John's not talking about what it takes for someone to be saved, what it takes to receive eternal life. He's talking here about what it looks like to walk out, to live out the Christian life in a relationship, in fellowship with our Heavenly Father. And he says, here's the reality, here's the truth. You're going to walk through the Christian life, and there are going to be moments that you slip up. There are going to be moments when you sin. What do you do when that happens? I've been a pastor for long enough to know that oftentimes what we do when that happens is we run from God. We turn and we run from Him. We think maybe that if we do like Adam and Eve in the garden after they sin, that if we hide, maybe God won't find us. And then we can clean ourselves up. And then we can come back. And yet, here's the truth. It doesn't work. In fact, God knows when we're going to sin before we sin. If you think about this, how many of your sins were future sins when Jesus was on the cross? All of them. And there's sins that are going to be present in your life until you step foot in front of your Heavenly Father in you can inherit eternal life. But how do you live out that relationship with Him? This is the thing that I think most people, even believers, think about God that's not true. We think about God often like He is just waiting for us to mess up. As if He's sitting in heaven and He's thinking, oh, I just can't wait. I'm going to nail you as soon as you mess up. That's not the way God operates. In fact, the Bible here, John here, tells us that God stands ready and willing to forgive us of our sins and to fellowship with us once again. God, like a loving Heavenly Father, desires nothing more in the life of a believer than a love relationship with you. He desires nothing more for you than to walk in fellowship with Him. And we know that sin breaks that fellowship, but it doesn't have to stay that way. In fact, the Bible tells us, John here says, that God stands ready and willing to forgive us of our sins and to reunite that fellowship so that we can walk with Him. See, here's the thing, Christian, that you need to recognize this morning. When God looks at you, you want to know what He sees? When God looks at you, He sees Jesus' blood covering all of your sin. That's what He sees when He looks at you. He sees Christ's righteousness covering you. And when we sin, we need to confess that, and we need to once again bring that relationship, that fellowship with our Heavenly Father together. But here's the thing, God wants to walk with you in your life as a Christian. And He makes it possible through what His Son accomplished on the cross, what His resurrection accomplished for you and for me. If we're going to walk with Him, we're going to have to be very, very cognizant of that relationship. And when there's sin in our lives as believers, we need to confess that and we need to run to our Heavenly Father's arms and crawl up in His lap and restore that relationship. We need to look at ourselves the way God looks at us. God doesn't look at you, if you're a believer this morning, as a dirty person. He doesn't look at you and focus all on your sin. In fact, the Bible tells us that He's cast your sin as far as the east is from the west. He sees you and He sees Christ, His Son. You're a son or daughter of the King this morning if you're a follower of Jesus. Are you living like that? See, this morning, John answers those three questions for us. Who is Jesus and what has he done? How can he transform my life? And how can I walk as a believer in a relationship with him the rest of my life? I want to ask you if you would bow your heads this morning and close your eyes. I'm going to ask the Pastor Scott and the worship team to make their way back up and give us an opportunity this morning to respond to the Lord and to his word. Maybe you're here this morning and for you, you've never nailed down the truth of who Jesus is and what he's done. Maybe you've thought about him as a good teacher. Maybe you've thought about him as a historical figure. But this morning, you've grasped the reality that he is the Son of God. And that he stepped foot out of heaven and he came to this earth. And he lived a sinless life and he died a gruesome death as he took your sin and my sin on the cross. And he was put in a tomb, but he didn't stay there. He rose from the dead. Maybe you need to nail that truth down this morning in your life. Maybe you have believed that. And yet the reality is for you, you've never placed your entire trust in what Jesus did for you and receive salvation, eternal life that's made possible through his death and his resurrection. You've never experienced how Jesus can transform your life. And if that's you this morning, we would love nothing more than to share with you what that looks like. How salvation can be possible in your life. How Jesus can transform your life. And if that's you this morning, I want to encourage you in the card that was in your bulletin. You can check a box that says, I just want to know more about Jesus. We'd love to get in touch with you this week and share more about who Jesus is, what he's done, and how he can change your life. Maybe you're a believer here this morning and you've wondered what God thinks of you. And you feel like there's times when you're on the mountaintop in the Christian life and there's times when you feel like you're in the gutter. And you think that God loves you less when you're in the gutter than he does when you're on the mountaintop, and you could not be further from the truth. Because of what Jesus has done, not because of what you do, but because of what he has done, he makes it possible for you to walk in relationship with your Heavenly Father. Your sins are forgiven, and you simply need to confess them. To claim the truth that Jesus' blood is covering your sin and walk with God once again. Father, we ask over the next moments we have a chance to sing and to respond, Lord, would you work as only you can do through your Holy Spirit in our lives. Lord, if there's those that need to respond by faith to the truth that Jesus is who he says he is and he did what he said he did and received the salvation that his death on the cross and his resurrection provides, would you let them take that step this morning? Father, for believers here this morning who wonder what you think about them, would you reassure them that you're not sitting in heaven just waiting to take them out because of sin in their lives, but because of what Jesus has done, you stand ready to forgive. And you see them as you see your son, Jesus. Would you help them claim that truth this morning? We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. I want to invite you to stand and sing.